Welcome to the For Narcotics Anonymous podcast. Here we share audio recordings of NA members sharing their experience, strength, and hope. If you are a drug addict or think you have a drug problem, you are welcome to attend an NA meeting. Go to www.nahelp.org/meetings to find a meeting near you. On this website, you will also find more information about the Narcotics Anonymous program. Thanks for listening to this recording.
Fuck. My name's Terry. I'm an addict. And I got clean in a penitentiary in 1979. You know, and you guys are real fortunate to get clean in Narcotics Anonymous. Because when I got here, there was no Narcotics Anonymous. I had to go to that other fellowship, and I was treated like a fucking leper, you know. I would share in a meeting, and they say, oh, you're one of those. You know, but when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I became one of us. You know, I found my fucking tribe. You know, and I remember my first sponsor, Frankie. Good man. You know, I remember going to a meeting with him. You got to understand, Frankie was a bookie. You know, and I was attracted to him, and he had a storefront. It said moving and storage, but that's where his book was, and they had like 3 meetings a week there, and that's where I went to meetings most of the time. And I remember the first time I said, Frankie, would you be my sponsor? And he like looked at me like and cringed. I said, listen, I don't need somebody to wipe my nose or wipe my ass. I just need somebody I can rely on. And he said, yeah, okay. You know, and I remember going to a meeting one night, and it was about character defects. And after the meeting, you know, we're walking, and I said, Frankie, I feel sorry for all these motherfuckers with all these character defects. You know, because I thought I was okay. You know, the only problems I had to do was stop using. You know, and he almost fell on the fucking floor laughing. He says, motherfucker, you are a walking character defect. He says, you don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to act around people. You don't know how to treat people. You know, and I'm like, what do I got to do? He says, you got to change everything. I said, how the fuck do I do that? He says, stay around here. Keep coming. We'll help you. You know, and I love Frankie, you know, and he was the person who got me involved in starting to help other people and get me outside of myself, because I was a self-centered motherfucker. You know, it was always like, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this fucking thing? So I remember Frankie one night, he says, Terry, here's a guy's name and address and his phone number. Go pick him up and take him to the hospital detox, you and this other guy. And I'm like, Frankie, I said, what's wrong with this fucking guy? He can't get to the hospital by himself? And Frankie says, Terry, just shut the fuck up and do what I say. And I understood that language, you know, and that's how they had to talk to me back then, you know, because I was still like, had that penitentiary mentality. You know, and I love Frank. Frankie died with like over 50 years. You know, and then my second sponsor was Jimmy. You know, and what happened is my aunt had 25 years in other fellowship, and I went down to Florida to celebrate her anniversary. And I went down there, and I had an old partner, a girl named Maureen, and she was in Miami. And I left my aunt, and I went down to Miami, and I hooked up with Maureen. And she was just coming back from a run, and she was writing bad checks, and I was driving around to the bank trying to make these fucking things good. You know, Maureen says, Terry, just stay in the parking lot and keep the car running. You know, and I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. So Maureen, you know, she said, you want to go to a meeting? I said, okay. So she took me to a meeting at other fellowship. Then after that meeting, she says, you want to go to an NA meeting? I said, what the fuck is NA? You know, I was clueless. She said, Narcotics Anonymous. I said, yeah, sure, I'd go anywhere. I didn't give a fuck. And I went to my first NA meeting, and I met this guy, Paul Lee. You know, he says, how much time you got clean? I said, I got a year and a half. He says, you want to be our speaker? I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, but my sponsor said, never turn down a speaking request. So I spoke at my first NA meeting, you know, and I didn't know anything about traditions or anything. And people kept saying, Terry, you got to go back to New York and start NA. And I'm like, fuck. I couldn't walk and chew bubble gum at the time. I had no intention of going anywhere, starting anything. I was going to go back to New York and do my usual routine. And I went back to New York, and I went to a meeting at other fellowship. And this old fucking drunk, or grapes as I like to call them, started ranting and raving about these fucking drug addicts taking over our meetings. They don't belong here. Bunch of criminals and fucking lowlifes, you know, and pissed me off. So I says, you know, my shit. I says, I don't know how, I don't know where I'm going to start the first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in this city. And like two or three weeks later, we had a meeting going, you know, because back then we had a meeting in that other fellowship called Both Sides of the Coin, where it was a special interest group that we could talk about drugs, you know. I even pissed people off in that meeting. I remember one guy asked me to speak. He says, can you put some alcohol in your story? So I went on a fucking tirade, you know, about using this and that. And at the end I says, and I used to clean my works with alcohol. You know, I was an asshole. You know, and then we first started the first meeting, and then I heard about the meeting in Bronx. They started that, and we ran out of literature, so I'm writing to the World Service Office for literature, right? And we got four meetings going, and they're sending me starter kits. Four starter kits I got over about 3 months, you know, seven IPs and a white book. So I wrote them. I said, to whom it may concern, it would be easier for me to get an ounce of pure heroin from my old connection than it would be to get literature from you fucking people. In loving service, Terry R., and if you don't like it, I'll meet you in the parking lot of the 11th World Convention. We can fucking discuss it. You know, and about a week later, I get a phone call, Terry Ryan. I said, yeah. He says, you don't know me. My name is Jimmy Cannon. He says, I'm the manager of the World Service Office, and since we got your letter, we know New York NA is going to grow and thrive. We just sent you $500 worth of literature. Pay us when you can. That shit wouldn't happen today. You call those motherfuckers up, they say, you got a credit card? You know, it's, today's service structure is not the same service structure. You know, when I got here, I had the gift of desperation. You know, I wanted to stay clean. I didn't want to stick a needle in my arm anymore. I don't want to go back on the fucking methadone program. You know, I didn't want to go back on account and wait for commissary. You know, and I did a lot of crazy shit when I was using, but my bottom when I was in jail, it wasn't as bad as some of the bottoms I had outside. You know, I was just fucking tired. You know, and when I was in the penitentiary, they used to call me Ernest and Julio because I was making wine all over the fucking place. You know, because I would get high for any reason. And when I got out, I just had the desperation that I had to do this. I had to stay clean. You know, and so we formed the area and region of New York, all that shit. You know, and a lot of people got clean. And I remember a friend, Nona, looking at me one day. She says, you know something, Terry? It's none of your business what God does with your life. You know, and that's the truth. You don't know who you're going to help. And the thing is, you know, we have literature, but the bottom line, the message of recovery is carried from one addict to another. You know, that personal touch, you know, that thing, you know, when you look at somebody, you know he was as fucking crazy as you, but you know they're clean, you know, and you know it's possible to get clean and recover, you know. When I was 16 years old, my mother took out an insurance policy on me, so she wanted to have enough money to bury me, you know, and Narcotics Anonymous changed my life. You know, if it wasn't for NA, I wouldn't have a great wife. I wouldn't have all my grandkids. I wouldn't feel the way I feel, you know. I remember when I was using, you know, if I didn't have anything, I'd be walking down the street looking at cracks in the sidewalk because that's where my fucking self-esteem was. I had none, you know, and I just fucking used to survive. And thank God, you know, my predecessors taught me how to stay clean and help people, like Frankie having me do 12-step calls and taking guys to detox. And then I got involved in H&I, you know, because we need that drive. We need to help other people. You know, the spiritual part of this program is one addict helping another. And that's what drives this whole thing. And I was crazy as a shithouse rat. You know, I remember my first meeting, it was like 100 people. It was in the other fellowship, and my sponsor made me the coffee guy, and I had like 300 cup coffee pots, and the old timers would come in, and I'd say, what are you doing? You cleaning ashtrays? You washing cups? And they said, no. And I said, get the fuck out of my kitchen. You know, because I still had that jailhouse mentality, and they go see Frankie, and Frankie said, leave him the fuck alone. He's staying clean. He's coming to meetings. He's doing the best he can. You know, and I remember two old timers in that meeting that came up to me. You know, one of them had one of those leisure suits with a fucking white patent belt and white patent leather shoes. And, you know, I dressed, I had a black fedora, red overalls, long hair, feathered earring, handmade wingtips. He says, kid, you got to dress more soberly. I says, I had a suit just like that. They gave it to me when I got out of the joint. I said, I threw it in the fucking garbage. Get the fuck out of my face. You know, it's just, but I wanted this thing. And I would keep new old timers out on the street corners talking. You know, in the beginning, I knew there was a secret code or something, you know. I was looking for it, you know, like picking a lock. And I'd keep them out, and they'd look at me, and they said, well, Terry, just keep coming back. We'll see you tomorrow. And they leave me, and I'd be pissed off, and you know, because they didn't get what I wanted, you know. But the love I got from those old-timers, you know, and the love I got from my predecessors, and NA has evolved, but I don't think it's gotten much better. You know, I'm not saying recovery-wise, I mean service-wise, because we have, like, everybody knows who Nors is. You know, you got World Board members, you know, they lie and manipulate the fellowship to sell spiritual books. What the fuck is that all about? You know, they're supposed to help. When I first got here, you know, we bound together. You know, we took care of each other. You know, I remember going on road trips, you know. When we first got together, we belonged to the Mid-Atlantic region. It went from West Virginia to fucking Maine. You know, when you went to a regional meeting, you don't know if you're going to travel 12 hours, 13 hours, but we did it. You know, we wanted to share this gift that we got. And I knew to keep this gift, I had to help other people. You know, and I had a lot of fun in that night. You know, I did a lot of crazy shit. I remember I was I was the H&I chair of the Greater New York region. And we ordered literature and we counted it. And they shortchanged us about 1,000 pieces of literature. So being the addict I am, we counted it 3 times. I took a credit card. I cracked the lock on the literature cabinet. And it was an old safe, so I cracked that. I took the literature they owed us. I took 1,000 meeting schedules. I wrote a note and left a check, you know, because we had guys traveling from upstate New York, like 7-8 hours coming down to get literature. And I know what it was like to sit in a jail cell and have nothing positive to read, no hope, you know. So I wasn't going to let those guys go back, you know, without the correct amount of literature. Plus, I was fucking a little nuts, you know. And the next regional meeting, they were threatening to lock me up and put me in jail. I said, fuck it, put me in jail. I said, I've been arrested for better things than that. You know, and it's just, I love Narcotics Anonymous. You know, my wife has 36 years clean. You know, my wife will look at me sometimes, she says, you're nothing but a fucking crazy old man. And I am. But I'm a happy, crazy old man because of this fellowship. You know, it gave me my self-esteem back. You know, it gave me the thing where I could look in your eyes and I can tell the truth. You know, and I don't steal anymore. You know, because for me, the second step was one of the most important steps I took, because that most important word was could. Could restore us to sanity. And that could was if I was willing to do this work. You know, if I was willing to listen to my sponsor, if I was willing to read the literature, you know, if I was willing to follow direction most of the time, you know. Sometimes I would tell my sponsor, fuck you. You know, but I paid the price, you know. I would go do something and, you know, it was sort of like walking off in the sunset, but it was a fucking brick mural painted on a wall. I'd walk into there and be painful and I'd stop. But I'd go find another brick wall to walk into, you know, and a power greater than myself mostly was pain. That's what got me to change. It wasn't listening to anybody in the fellowship. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing what I was doing, and then I had to ask somebody, how do I stop, you know? And when they talk about, like, character defects, I remember this crazy bastard in California gave his sponsees a list of, like, 136 character defects. I felt fucked up about myself when I got here. I didn't need 136 fucking character defects. What I learned was to work on my assets. I found as long as I worked on my assets, my defects stayed away. And I remember my first sponsor, Frankie, he says, Terry, I want you to write down 3 things you do every day. You know, don't make them easy. And it was like a game to me. You know, I started doing these things, positive things, and it made me feel better. You know, so now I got this thing as, you can't hit a moving target. As long as I'm moving in a positive direction, helping myself or somebody else, you know, that much farther addiction stays away from me. You know, and some of my character defects, you know, it took a long time for them to go away. Yeah, because I was a fucking thief. Ever since I've been 8 years old, I've been robbing houses and selling dope and selling fireworks and selling fucking guns, you know, whatever I, you know, I was a street hustler from, you know, New York, and that's what he did, you know, and when I got clean, you know, it's just to stop stealing, because when I was a kid, they say, you know, it's okay to steal, just don't get caught, you know, you don't get any fucking tattoos, you don't have any identifying marks, and if you get caught, you're a fucking asshole. You know, so that's what I live by. I didn't get a tattoo until I was 50 years old. I still had that in my head. You know, I sort of had to we're like computers, we're programmed. So what I had to do is delete the bad program I had, and I had to reinstall the Narcotics Anonymous spiritual program, you know, to change my life, become a better person, you know. And I remember when I started to make amends, I had to make amends to my son. And it was like, I was scared to death, man. It was going to be the hardest thing I ever did. And I started talking to him. My son said, "Hey, Pop, stop." He says, "As long as you're taking care of your addiction and you're going to meetings and you're doing the right thing," he says, "we're okay." You know? And I still have a good relationship with my son, you know, and with my wife, between us, we have like 8 or 10 grandkids, 4 great-grandkids, and now we have 1 great-great-grandkid. You know, because the kids stay busy. They're like fucking rabbits. You know? They're enjoying life. You know, that's what they should do. You know, and just being in service and helping other human beings, you know, find this gift. You know, I've been doing H&I for like over 40 years, and I still do it. You know, and what saddens me, that a lot of the new people, they spend, I guess, more time on their fucking cell phones than they do in service in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, maybe we should have a PI app or an H&I app on their fucking phone. You know, it just pisses me off, you know, because... And another thing that pisses me off, at the world level, they stole the service from our fellowship. They took away the standing committees. And when they did that, a lot of people stopped doing H&I and public information. And we need that in our lives to carry this message so we could feel whole, you know, and to help other people. And it's all about money with them, you know. And I'm one of those assholes that sells books to groups, you know. And fuck them if they can't take a joke, you know. Because we need this, you know. The newcomer, you know. And in jail, you know, just to have a fucking something to read in your jail cell. You know, and guys coming in and bringing them in and giving them hope. I had no hope until they started bringing them a message of recovery. You know, but in the beginning, I was making wine above the meeting place in the jail, and I would get drunk before the meeting, sit there and listen to these assholes. I thought they were all full of shit. Little did I know I was going to be one of them. You know, and... I moved to California, I lived in Connecticut, and wherever I went, I started meetings. You know, I moved to this little town in Heber, Utah, and we got there, there was no meetings. I started a meeting in my house, you know. Then we belonged to the Provo area. We were like their fucking redheaded stepchild. You know, they really didn't want to have anything to do with us. Then we fucking broke off from them and started our own area. And they didn't realize it until like 6 months later, dopey motherfuckers. You know. But that's what it is. If you got a resentment, go start a meeting. You know. And if you're new, get involved. You know. And if somebody's got less time than you, even if you just say keep coming back, you know, give them your phone number so you could talk. Get a sponsor, man. Find somebody you can fucking trust. You know, and we had the World Convention in New York, and you know that was funny. I put in a token bid at the 11th World Convention, and then we went on to Milwaukee, and we had all this trumped up shit. What hotels we had, you know. We had one of the guys that worked for the mayor in New York, and he stole some letterheads, and we wrote a letter. You know, how grateful they would be for Narcotics Anonymous coming to New York City. And I signed the mayor's signature. We threw that in there. You know, it's just, we did what we had to do to get this thing going. You know, yeah, maybe we broke some laws, you know. Fuck it, who didn't break any laws? Who didn't cut corners? You know? But the thing we can't do is break and violate our traditions. You know? We gotta keep it strong. And I think it's really important that, you know, strong home groups. You don't need a strong area or a strong region. You need strong home groups. You know, because that's where the newcomers are coming. They ain't going to the fucking area circus. They're not going to regional circus. They're coming to the home groups to find help. And if we don't have strong home groups, we ain't going to have nothing. You know, pulling those newcomers. You know, I remember going to meetings and, like, places where nobody knew me. I walked in. Nobody greeted me. Nobody said hello. They didn't know who the fuck I was. They didn't make me feel at home. You know, and if you're a newcomer, you know, you're looking for something. You're scared, you're shaking, you know, and you're looking for hope. And you might be the only one that can help them. You know, that first hug. I remember my sponsor, Brownie, he said what impressed him when he first came to NA. Some guy took him home and made him a fucking bologna sandwich. He said, somebody even let me into their fucking house. You know, it's the little things. You know, and I remember Jimmy, I called Jimmy up one day and I'm fucking ranting and raving about some kind of crazy shit in New York of tradition violence. I don't know what the fuck it was. And Jimmy just started laughing. And I was pissed. I said, what the fuck are you laughing at? And he says, Terry, sometimes you got to sit back and watch the cartoons. So 43 years, I've been watching the cartoons and Narcotics Anonymous, and they're better than fucking Looney Tunes. You know? And one of the cartoons I've been watching for like the last 10 years, that people come into Narcotics Anonymous and they want to be famous in an anonymous program. They want to be RDs. They want to be world board members. But motherfuckers, choirs is kept in 10 years, nobody will remember who the fuck you are. But if you help somebody get clean and you take them through the steps, they'll remember you to the day you die. You know, they'll embrace you. I just had a guy call me up. I sponsored him like 30 years ago. He's living in Arizona now. My friend Irving. You know, and the thing is, I remember being in California. I was at a meeting, and I'm standing outside, and the guy says, you're from New York, right? I said, yeah. He says, you kidnapped me. And, I don't remember a lot of shit I did when I was using. And I'm thinking, motherfucker, I'm going to jail. Yeah, he says, you don't remember, do you? I said, no. He says, we called up the hotline in New York to go to a meeting, and you picked us up in a van, and you took us up to the first regional convention in Connecticut, and you put us up in a hotel room, and you fed us. He said, I never forgot that. He said, I didn't get clean then, but I'm clean now. You know, and that's things we used to do. You know, and the first hotline in New York was my house. You know, I remember guys kicking on my couch, because when we first started, there was no drug detoxes. They just alcohol. So we'd bring them to the office, send somebody to the liquor store, get one of those little bottles of liquor, send them out in the streets to drink this, and then we'd take them to the alcohol detox. And most of the time, they'd look at the guy and he said, he's not an alcoholic, he's a drug addict. We can't take him. So we'd end up with them sleeping on our couches, you know? And a lot of those people stayed clean. Some of them died. I remember this kid, Eddie, I took him home. I says, listen, if I wake up and my fucking TV's gone, I'm going to search, hunt you down, and I'm going to fucking kill you, you know? But when I woke up in the morning, TV was there, but Eddie chose to go back out, and he died 3 days later. You know, and I love Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I met my wife here. I was speaking at a HNI learning day in Utah before I moved there, and when it was over, I seen this woman. She was dancing with a kid in a wheelchair and pressed the shit out of me. And they had them boxed in with these tables and this, I forget what you call it. And she just pushed the fucking tables out of the way so the kid can come. And then they had to dance. And I was talking to one of her sponsees, and I didn't know that. She comes over and she says, "Can I borrow him?" And I'm looking, I said, "What the fuck is going on?" And the sponsor says, "Yeah, sure." And she looks at me, she says, "You want to dance?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And we're dancing. I said, "Why'd you ask me to dance?" She says, "You're safe. You're going to go back to California." I looked at her, I said, "You're out of your fucking mind." You know, and I'm married to that woman today. You know, I've been married three times, once an act of addiction. You know, it took the woman like 35 years to give me a kiss on the cheek. You know, and now she kind of talks to me civilly when I go visit my son. Because I don't blame her. I was a fucking asshole. You know, bringing bags of fucking drugs in the house, fucking weapons, all sorts of crazy shit, you know. Overdosing in the house. You know, but I found Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't have to do that anymore. You know, I have dignity today. I know how to do the right thing. You know, and I know how to cut through bullshit. I love newcomers. You know, sometimes they're so fucking full of shit. And you got to tell them they're full of shit, and they look at you like, okay, he knows. You know, but they feel in love with that. You know, this new, sweet, mamby-pamby N.A., you know, "Oh, just keep coming. Fuck you, man. Sit down, shut the fuck up, and listen." That's what I was told. My sponsor says, "Listen, we want to hear from the disease, we're going to call on you. You know, we want to learn how to do a fucking B&E, we'll call on you." You know, and I remember just before Jimmy died, you know, and I used to call Jimmy up on the phone. I used to buy these stolen phone credit cards on the street in New York, and I call up Jimmy, I talk to him, and I say, "Jimmy, if the phone company calls you, you don't know who the fuck called you." He says, "Oh," he would never tell me I was doing something wrong. He always let me figure it out for myself. You know, I loved that man. You know, and I remember when they threw him out of the fucking office, and I'd be talking to Jimmy. One night I said, "Jimmy, I'll come out with a couple of 45s and we'll go shoot these motherfuckers." And Jimmy says, "Well, it sounds good, but we can't do that, Terry." I says, "Well, I'm just offering." You know, because I loved that man, and what they did to him, they threw him out like trash. Then afterwards, they threw Bob Stone out like trash. You don't treat people like that. This is supposed to be a loving fellowship. You know, like I said before, they lie, cheat, steal, and manipulate and sell spiritual books. You know, I was talking to somebody today. They asked them, "Is NAWS part of NA?" And they wouldn't answer. And that should tell you something. You know, and the thing is, I like to see every region step out of the World Service Conference, and I would like to see every state take care of their own backyard, you know, print their own books, make their own chips, take care of their newcomers, you know, and I love the idea about printing our literature, you know. One idea I got is just print a bunch of IPs, put a meeting schedule in, do a presentation to the emergency rooms in your towns, and give them like 100 envelopes with IPs and a meeting schedule. When somebody comes out of an overdose, they'll have a fucking envelope full of literature laying on their chest, or their family will have it, you know? And they'll know where to go, you know? And I have fun, you know? It's just like, I do meetings in Russia. We've been doing a meeting in Russia for 2 years, and they started printing gray books over there, gray reflections. You know, they're starting to see through the bullshit. But if you're new, man, get involved in Narcotics Anonymous. Find a fucking sponsor. Be useful. You know? And that thing about big shots in Narcotics, we don't need fucking big shots in Narcotics Anonymous. You know where I want to be a big shot? Sitting next to my wife on a recliner watching TV at night, or playing with my grandkids or my great-grandkids. You know? Or making bread. Tough guy from New York. Now I make bread and bake pies. Yeah. Long way from fucking robbing stores and hijacking trucks and doing all the crazy shit did before. But it makes me feel good. You know, it's like I'm 75 years old. I retired from plumbing 3 years ago. And I love doing that work. Yeah, I remember I went to school in California, you know, I became a plumber, I got my plumber's license, became a master plumber, you know, and I went to school with kids 25 years younger than me, and they'd be saying, hey, Pop. I said, come here, you motherfucker, I'll pop you, you know. But the thing, being a plumber, you can be a fucking thief. You can charge people up the ass, and some people don't know, and I learned how to be responsible and honest and try and be fair with people. That's what Narcotics Anonymous taught me. When I first got here, it was like I would rip anybody off, I'd steal anything. You know, I had no fucking scruples or morals, you know. I had a friend, Jeanette. She died when she had 36 years clean. She was the wife of a man called Pepe. She was like my NA mom in LA. I'd go over to the house and she make me cookies and coffee and tell me I was incorrigible and stay away from responsees, you know. But these people helped me when I couldn't help myself. They pointed out things to me that I couldn't see. That's why you need a sponsor, you know. And the children I have, you know, most of them, they don't have a problem. Just one of their grandsons, little fucker, he's strung out like a research monkey, you know. You know, now he's found religion. He's become a Mormon. You know, I'm going to see how fucking long that's last. You know, he's just hustling the church for rent and groceries. You know, I know his game, you know, but someday I hope he gets arrested. I hope the little fucker goes to jail. And I hope he gets to an H&I meeting, and I hope he gets clean. You know? And I have one of my grandsons, I just look at this kid. He's 5 years old, and he rides a little dirt bike. 5 years old. And I looked at my granddaughter. I said, you see him? She says, yeah. I said, get a bank account for him. She says, what do you mean? I said, you're going to need fucking bail money. Because I could see him. He's like me. You know, he's fucking wild. You know, and today I live a simple life. I love my wife. I live up in the mountains. You know, when I was using, I lived in fucking rooftops and boiler rooms. Now I live on the side of a mountain, 7,200 feet above sea level. You know, it's just, it's like a paradise. I never ever thought I'd ever live someplace like that. You know, I never thought I'd live as long as I live today. You know, I'm getting old. I got arthritis, bursitis. I can't fucking hear. You know, just I could go to the doctor and fucking score whatever I want. But I can't do that. You know, because I've learned pain is like an old friend. He wakes me up every morning, says, hi, I'm here. I'm not going to leave you. You know, and I just deal with it. I love Narcotics, and I hope that helps somebody. And with that, I'll shut the fuck up. Thank you.